The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Thank you for the good times. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the joy you've given me. Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Welcome to Real Recognition Radio, a program designed to promote a positive work environment. Your hosts are Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. In this hour, you will be motivated to motivate, increase morale, productivity, loyalty, and reduce turnover. Learn how some companies get it while others don't. Now, here are your hosts, Roy and Max.
Welcome to Real Recognition Radio, the show that's all about creating a better workplace and developing positive relationships where people can thrive. I'm Max Brown, along with my colleague, Roy Saunderson, and we're from the Recognition Management Institute. Roy, how are you today?
I am hunky-dory. How are you doing there, Max?
Hunky-dory. I love it.
You betcha.
If I was any better, I wouldn't know what to do with myself. I'm excited about this show, you know. I'm excited about this show. The topic, of course, is the ROI of being present. What do you think?
I'm curious how this is going to turn out, because how many times do we get asked about ROI, but I don't think we've ever been asked about being present. So I'm curious, Max, your thoughts on what leaders can do to really encourage people to be present at work. What are your thoughts on that?
Gosh, you know, people often ask us, you know, how would we define leadership? And boy, there are 900 million definitions, as we've had on this show and so many other places where you can read definitions. But for myself, it really is what I call a way of being, and that leadership isn't a way of commanding. It's not a way of dictating or even of influencing. For me, it starts as a way of being. And so when I met these two folks, I thought, my goodness, I am so excited to have them on the show to talk more about how do we bring people to be their best selves, and not only at work, but just in general, in our lives.
Right.
You know? So let's dig into it, shall we?
Please do. Please, Max.
Let's do it. I'm going to introduce them both. They are Shirley Moulton and Kat Tansey. Shirley Moulton is the president and CEO of Tuck Shop, LLC. She is the former CEO and co-founder of Universal Solutions Incorporated, or USI. It is a multi-million-dollar information technology consulting firm, and she ran it for over 22 years. Shirley currently serves as vice chair of the board of directors for the Women's President's Organization, an international organization for women business owners with average annual revenues exceeding $15 million. She was recently awarded the 2009 President's Award for service to the organization and is a past Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year finalist for three consecutive years in 1999, 2000, and in 2001. So Shirley, wonderful to have you on the show. I'm going to introduce Kat here as we go as well. Kat, an award-winning author who believes in the power of a well-told tale that teaches while it entertains. Her books include Winning the Change Game and Choosing to Be, Lessons in Living from a Feline Zen Master. Choosing to Be has been awarded the Independent Publisher's Bronze Medal. Kate also hosts a weekly talk show, Finding Magic in Midlife, that allows her to interview and discuss in-depth lessons learned from a wide variety of accomplished and well-known midlife women. In addition, her ebook is titled Insomnia Relief Recipes. I love it. I've been experiencing some of that, but I think it's because of my kids. She has gone on to collaborate with Dave Carpenter to produce another highly praised ebook entitled Prospering in 2010. And from this, they developed a series of webinars. So, as you can tell, and I'm excited because we have some wonderful professionals on the show today. Shirley and Kat, welcome to you both.
Thank you. Thank you, Max.
Thanks, Max. It's delightful to be here.
Oh, I'm so grateful, so grateful. And today for this first segment, Shirley, why don't we begin, and then in the second segment, we'll have more time with Kat. And then in the third and fourth segment today, what we're thinking is we'll just have a good chat with everyone and have a good conversation around this whole conversation, if that works for you guys.
Perfect. Yep.
So Shirley, can you start with how did your work evolve into what it is today? What a wonderful career, as we just heard.
Yes, it has been a tremendous career. But I want to sort of really focus on my work today because it has more application to the conversation. My company, the Talk Shop LLC, is a holding company for several companies that are involved in creating products and services to make the world a better place. My new one, the Academy of Life, a place where people come to discuss the things they care about and the things that matter that they didn't learn in school. So that's my latest one. And it was really through my personal transformation that I got to really understand what my purpose and my passion was in this life. I recognized that the ability to be more helpful in the personal spiritual development of a human being is critically important work. And to me, it was really a soul call when I realized that the potential for magnificence in everyone. It was such a big thing. Mm-hmm. And if you let spirit inform you, then the world becomes a better place. And I wanted to make that contribution to the planet by doing this new work.
Wow. I love that. Why is this so critical to you? Why is this so important? Why did you feel this calling?
Because I recognized that I had spent the majority of my life without this awareness. And I thought, my God, if I, you know, was this so-called successful entrepreneur and that I didn't really fully understand my life and what was important in my life, then I'm sure there are others out there that they just don't get this. And it's obvious that it is my responsibility. I just felt it was like this tremendous responsibility once I discovered through my own personal transformation the meaning of the big you. And I just needed to take that forward. Like, it was my life's work that I had to sort of deliver this to a larger group.
Yes. So tell me then, do you think that the younger, when we are younger, that, you know, you mentioned you realize this later in life, and do you feel like people, while they're in the throes of a career, can actually learn this at right from the beginning, or is it actually part of growing up?
I really believe that it is you have to have had certain life experiences in order for this for you to have any type of understanding of what we mean by, you know, recognizing the significant difference between your human life and your being life. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to really have a little bit of age and a little bit of experience to really understand that. So I think for anywhere past 35, this is what I've been thinking about. Maybe at around 35, people are beginning to recognize certain things. But then again, I need to take that back because I have a niece who's 25 years old. And this woman must be an old spirit because she's really evolved. She really gets what life is really about at such a young age. She understands the whole need to master self, to love self first, and then to take that sort of presence into whatever she does in life. Yes. And I don't know where she gets that from, but it's happening to her. I think it's an exception, not the rule. But I do think you have to have a little bit of life experiences to really get to this awakening.
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it, that there's a lot of opportunity here. We've talked with a lot of people about the younger generation, and maybe there are different life experiences that help us along the way. Nevertheless, I'm with you. I've met some wonderful, incredible young people that say, you know what, I'm not going to live this the way my parents did or the way my grandparents did. I want to feel like there's something bigger, deeper now, and there's this almost an awakening, if you will, that I kind of feel is out there. How do you define this? Maybe we should define it first. Then, what is being present?
And I've thought about this a little bit. It's presence to me is a state of grace. Is this alert inner stillness that's always in the background while things are happening in the foreground? And I was reading a book by Eckhart Tolle the other day, and he talks about that this dimension is in everyone, but most people are completely unaware of it. So when you think about this presence as it relates to work, I think it's, in a practical way, I think it's really the ability to completely focus on your task at hand without any distractions or what you should be doing next. You know, you can't be thinking about what the kids did last night, what your coworker just said to you, what you're going to have for lunch, but just give your attention 100% to what it is that you are working on. And out of that comes this amazing creativity and grace. And really, it is that to me is it, you know, where you're living your life and your task fully and confidently in the immediate moment.
Well, you know, and you mentioned a lot of people could have it. They're just not aware of the power of it. What do you think are the biggest obstacles then to being our best or to being this, having this presence? Because for me, it's obviously, you know, my online addictions now of trying to stay connected with so many people. And, you know, someone sends me an email and they expect it to be answered quickly, you know, and it's like, I don't know how to keep up sometimes. And I sometimes even feel a bit overwhelmed.
Right. And I think what we have to do is truly, truly silence. It's this constant barrage of noise. I call it noise in our heads.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we turn that off? You know, how do we sort of manage that and manage this notion that we have to do everything now? You know, and how not to sort of just react and be impatient, but just to sort of breathe and say, you know what, this really can be done tomorrow. It doesn't have to be done now. And so exercising some level of patience around what it is that we have to do, I think that's also instructive.
Yes, and it will, and so it does sound like it does come down to ourselves, but what about our workplace culture, the workplace demands that might be around us? Are we somewhat dependent on those, or can we still bring our best despite a work environment that might be demanding?
I think we can definitely bring our best to a workplace that is absolutely demanding because, you know, at the end of the day, you are just one person. You know, there's not a person that shows up at work or a person that shows up at home. We have to recognize we're just one integrated being. And so you are that, and you have to take that integrated being even into the workplace. And so this whole practice of, you know, being patient enough to think about what is happening instead of automatically reacting, you know, it's a shift that you're just not trying to get somewhere fast.
Yes.
But you're trying to be somewhere completely.
Mm-hmm.
It's to just shift that thinking. And
okay.
So regardless of where you are, work, home, or at play, you're just one person, and this one person needs to show up in this way no matter where they are.
Wow. That, I think, is going to be an interesting conversation as we continue this show because, easier said than done sometimes, isn't it? I'm feeling this presence from you that just actually brings me to a nice place as well. So I love your influence.
Oh.
And yet I hope that as we continue this conversation, people will still be able to feel like, yeah, we are just this one person. Such a perfect way to put it, that we can bring our whole person to work, and it doesn't have to be one person at work and then another person at home, another person in our community.
Right.
How do we
right.
bring that whole self?
Right, because, you know, really, your best self, what is a best self?
Mm-hmm.
It is, you know, it is that person that is caring, loving, compassionate, patient, and kind. All the attributes of the big word love, right? Where
yes.
we have no reaction, no attachment, no judgment. Where we're trying to really be accepting of all things and endure all things with this grace, knowing that no matter what we're faced with in any mm-hmm. given moment at work or anywhere, that this too shall pass. So
yes.
this is the person that has to show up to work. the person who understands that by genuinely being ourselves in the present moment, we naturally become alert, open, and productive, and unusually skillful.
I love it. I love it, Shirley. We have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with Shirley Moulton and Kat Tanzi. You're listening to Real Recognition Radio on Voice America Business Channel. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
The Mayan calendar tells us that we will be entering into a 260-day opportunity for us to engage in conscious co-creation with Great Spirit. How will we prepare ourselves for this exciting and unprecedented time in Earth's history? Peter Tung has dedicated over 20 years of his life's work to exploring that which is beyond understanding. Peter will help increase your awareness and education on this enlightening transformation in consciousness. Awakening to Conscious Co-Creation airs live Wednesdays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio with myself, Roy Saunderson, and Max Brown, and our guests today, Shirley Moulton and Kat Tanzi. And I'm going to continue on this segment with speaking with Kat now, and Kat, you've obviously gone through a lot of life experiences from the books that you've written, and what happened to you that really kind of brought home the importance of learning to be present?
Well, I think I'm a perfect example of Shirley's comment about needing some age. I was not a quick study. I actually had to be laid flat on my back with chronic fatigue syndrome to get the message. I was in the corporate world. I was a very driven person for 20 years as a consultant, working in change management, helping organizations implement change. And I was traveling and speaking, and I wrote my book, Winning the Change Game. And then I was setting up a change management practice as a partner in an outplacement firm, and then I got sick. So the thing was, I knew a lot about how to implement change, and I was really good at that, but I knew nothing. I mean, nothing about being present or being mindful or meditation, and it caught up with me. So I ended up on my couch for 3 years, and nobody knew what chronic fatigue was in those days. This was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I had to learn everything I could about my condition to find out how I could get better, and I was making progress, but then my mom hit that stage of Alzheimer's where she was completely lost to us, and at the same time, I hit menopause full on. So there I was. I lost my health. Yeah, I lost my health, my career, my life as I knew it. Now I was losing my mom, and then I was going through these hormonal changes. And here's the thing. My thoughts kept telling me that the only way out of this was to end my life. So one morning, I was walking around the loft where my husband and I lived, and I happened to see this book, The Tibetan Book of Living and Dying, on my bookshelf. And something made me take it down and begin reading it. And the author, Soigal Rinpoche, was talking about something called our ordinary mind, and he talked about it being like a flea hopping about. So I stopped for just a moment. I closed my eyes and watched my thoughts, and oh, my God, you know, there was a flea. And so as I watched that, I kind of got the idea that maybe this was not the mind I wanted to use to make a decision about killing myself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So then I went on to read the next chapter, and he talked about Buddha nature, which is this original state we were born with. And I just began to wonder if this Buddhism thing, this meditation, might be another way out. And what he was really writing about, of course, was being present. So I thought maybe this was the missing piece of the puzzle, and that maybe I could learn to, like, be instead of do, and maybe I could learn to watch my thoughts instead of just acting on them.
Okay. So that was my goodness, what a life change to kind of bring this home for you.
Yeah, well, as I say, I'm not a quick study.
Uh-huh. You know, what this is all making me think of is a saying that I've kind of held dear to, and that is, when you're in the room, be in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a very conscious awareness to do that. What have you found has been some of the methods that you use to be fully present, to be in the room, to be with the people?
Well, okay, for instance, right now, if you just take a moment and put your hand on your desk,
mm-hmm.
touch the desk. I use touch a lot. If I just touch the desk and look at my hand touching the desk, I'm right here. I'm right here right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll sometimes stop and just put my feet flat on the floor and just close my eyes for a minute and take a good, long, deep breath. And just feel my butt on the seat of the chair.
Right.
Those are just a couple of things that I do.
And trust me, my hand is still on the table. Can I remove it?
Oh, yes, you can.
Okay, good.
But don't leave.
No. But it's amazing. I felt impressed to do what you were saying, and I could sense that you were doing it too.
Yes. Yes.
Now, why did you write "Choosing to Be"? How did that come about? And
what I'm doing with my little book about meditation is it's really the same as everybody else, but it's different. I'm heading to the same place, but I'm taking a different path. Choosing to be is for people who want to learn to make their lives better, but they may not necessarily be interested in studying Buddhism or becoming serious students of a particular meditation method.
Right.
And, you know, Roy, I'm so not a guru. I'm just an average person who struggled, you know, to learn how to meditate and how to be present. But what I did know from my other work over the years is that it's easier for us to learn from stories. You know, like when we go to a movie, we identify with the characters and we get swept up and we experience the transformation right along with the hero. So that's what I wanted to happen in Choosing to Be, you know.
Okay.
So you're right with me as I struggle to learn how to meditate, and you laugh at the foibles of the felines Zen master's kind of quirky personality.
Okay.
And you get a kick out of the kitten Katzenbeer's antics, you know. And in short, you fall in love with the characters, and you learn. The other thing is that it's simple. It's deceptively simple, because I believe that learning doesn't have to be work. I mean, I spent my whole career teaching, and it can be fun. The principles of Buddhist meditation don't have to be complicated. You know, I started my career at the very beginning in the computer business, writing user manuals.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I see it, it's kind of like writing a technical manual for non-techies. You know,
uh-huh.
you get it down to its essence, and you write it as an adventure story.
Ooh. So I'm curious. I think Max and I get a good feel for what you're talking about. But for our audience, who may be trying to get that connection, where do you see and how do you see this helping folks at work?
Well, you know, it's a good point, Roy, because the title, Choosing to Be, Lessons in Living from a Feline Zen Master, it doesn't sound much like, you know, a book about work.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, the story itself is about what happened to me at work, and it's about what I went through to find out who I really was without my work, and it shows how hard it was to hold on to who I was and to be present when I went back to work. And I think a lot of people will probably identify with my story. I think the thing is that, you know, the title might say to you it's not a corporate or business book, and that's true. It's a book for people. People
right.
who are struggling, you know, many of whom just happen to be in businesses and corporations.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the benefits that you think that people can gain from learning to be present?
Well, I think one of the most important ones, Roy, is that you learn, and when I talk about being present, I'm kind of always referencing the idea of doing some kind of meditative practice to get there. So let me just preface it with that. And here's what I think happens in meditation is that you learn how to see things differently. Einstein said, that, and I should tell you that I did not say this in the book. The Feline Zen Master actually says it's in the book. He explained to me. He knew about Einstein. He said that you can't solve a problem at the same level it was created. And see, that's the problem with being stuck in that flea-like ordinary mind. So let me give you an example. This fellow Charles, he was really struggling to balance he had a really demanding business life and then a big family and was trying to balance that. He's a successful CEO up in Alberta, Canada, and in a very tough field, the oil business. So here's what Charles said that he learned from choosing to be. He learned, and I love the way he says this, was that meditation was as vital to his life as food and water and oxygen. Because without it, he wasn't running the show was running him.
Mm.
So what happened when he started to meditate, given that he got out of that flea-like mind, he started to see options he didn't even know were there. The way the Zen master explains it is you can't even imagine what it is like to be out of the flea-like mind because you're so used to it. So it opens up a whole different way of seeing. And then what happened to Charles was that instead of striving to do more, which is what he always did,
mm-hmm.
he learned how to sit and just be, and it gave him a totally different perspective. And
well,
now he's...
Go ahead.
Well, what's happened is now he's learning to be fully present in his work life and in his family life and in ways he couldn't have imagined out of his logical, business-minded approach to solving problems.
Well, you've alluded to some of the obstacles that get in the way. And before we take another break, could you just kind of round off the end of this segment by giving us what are the typical things that get in the way of us being present at work, especially?
Sure. I think it's three things, really. The culture. And most
uh-huh.
business cultures don't, you know, put signs up saying "be present." So, you know, they say "think." I always like the one "think." Well, the thoughts are the problem. So it's the culture, it's the environment, which typically people, you know, many people don't have private offices now. They're out in the open, so there's no quiet place to go. And then time, because it's hard to find the time. And just a quick story, near the end of the book, as I started to get better, I wanted to see if I could start working again. So I took a temporary job, and I was doing the payroll for Avon. And, of course, I was out in a big open area. And it was amazing, you know, after those years of learning to meditate and having this practice and everything, how difficult it was to maintain that presence when I went back. You'll see in the book, I really struggled with that.
Uh-huh.
So if I struggled with that after meditating for those years and all of the study and everything, I really understand it. So I think the thing is, you know, Shirley talked about being the one person in both places, home and work.
Yes.
I kind of feel like we can't expect it to happen at work. I think you need to begin at home. I think you need
uh-huh.
to read about it, start to meditate, find support in teachers, and have that at home and then take it with you to work. And you know, but don't expect to find it at work. That would be my take on it.
Well, that's an interesting point because you know, we often talk about being the same who you are on stage or off stage, but it's who you are going on the stage to begin with that's most important. And I'm liking your starting at home kind of mindset. I think that's grounding.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I can't believe it. Time runs by so quickly on this show. We're going to take another quick break. But please, for our listeners, join us back in a few minutes on Real Recognition Radio as we continue this exciting discussion with Shirley Moulton and Kat Tansey, more about the peaceful serenity of the ROI of being present. For Real Recognition Radio, this is Roy Saunderson and Max Brown.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. The experts are here. Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
If you're looking to improve your business results and get the truth about your business performance, then tune in each week to the Smart Behaviors Radio Show with host Joe Takish. Each week, a high-profile guest with a proven track record will discuss successful behaviors that will improve your business objectives and your bottom line. Tune in to the Smart Behaviors Radio Show every Friday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about. Getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and myself, Max Brown, and of course our guests today, Shirley Moulton and Kat Tansey. I've been grateful to both of you as I've been listening to that last segment and the segment we had before it with you, Shirley and Kat. Just thank you for being so real, actually, in who you are and what you're about. I certainly feel that. I feel your presence today, so I'm grateful to both of you. I think a question listeners would have today, what can leaders do to encourage people to bring their best selves to work? So let's say we have some people that, you know, they could take it to the next level, but the leaders are kind of confused. And frankly, some leaders, I think, are confused because they didn't feel like they were supposed to be grief counselors when they started their job as a boss. But they found that, you know, they've become a counselor. What can they do?
I think what leaders can do is really create a culture and climate and that supports the individual in trying to be their best self. I don't think they're responsible for the individual being their best self, but they can support it. So this culture is one that is creative and happy and passionate, where people can take, you know, their companies out there doing mandatory quiet breaks, where they're serving great food in the cafeteria, there's great lighting, beautiful sound, quiet rooms for meditation, perhaps, and prayer, an exercise facility. I had the opportunity to visit Google a couple of weeks ago here in New York, and they provide the most amazing healthy food. They have a meditation quiet room. People are playing the piano, at any time they want, and they just skate across the office, and it was really a happy place. So I think leaders can do a lot of those kinds of things.
Shirley, good examples, actually, and it's interesting that you say that. Do you think there's an ROI for doing something like all these things you're suggesting?
Oh, there's no question. There's no question. People are more productive and they're happier. And you have happier people, you know, a happier company, happier customers, and the world becomes a better place.
Yeah. Kat, what would you say?
Well, I agree with Shirley about the, you know, as I said, one of the biggest obstacles is the culture, you know, and the environment. So, those are big factors in change. In any kind of change implementation. So anything they can do to change that. Gandhi said, you know, be the change you want to see in the world. See, I think this is really, really true for leaders with regard to being present.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I don't see how you can possibly help others be present if you don't know how to do it yourself. So I would say to leaders, okay, start practicing meditation at home. You know, do it yourself. Experience it yourself. And as you change, as you become more present from meditation, you actually, as I said, see things differently. And so then it's more organic that way, because rather than going in and saying, okay, we're going to paint the room, you know, pale blue, it's an organic change that is coming from within about being present and just seeing what is it that you can do to show people that. They pick that up. They start doing that, and then the culture can change. You know, you can do it either way. You can start to change the culture. I spent all those years, you know, implementing change, and I don't know. I sure found it was a hard thing to just, you know, say, okay, we're going to change the culture. So I think you can work it from both angles, but I absolutely feel that the leaders have to do this themselves.
Yes. It's interesting because I agree with both of you that there is an ROI here, and I think it's plainly obvious. The challenge I continue to have in my own mind is only because I feel like there's a lot of research that we've talked about. In fact, Edward Deming talked about it, you know, 50, 60 years ago. And yet there's still these barriers in business to embracing this concept. It's almost like people say, well, that's Pollyanna-ish. It's not business to do things like that. People get paid to do their job, show up, get it done, go away, I don't care about you, you know? And so this seems to be still a dominant force in work today. You look at, you know, satisfaction reports or engagement surveys around the country, and there's a lot of people that are very unhappy at their work and a lot of stress.
Well, I think that I've been around a long time. I don't want to tell you how long, but I definitely qualify as a wise older woman. and my experience in all those years in business, being in it and then out of it and back in it again, is that, you know, we're people, and people actually overall don't change very much. And so you get us in an environment where there's competition, where there's concern about, and particularly in today's environment, you know, people want to hang on to their jobs. So, I mean, you go back to those old studies, old Taylor studies about, you know, people on the line working faster than everybody else, and so everybody would try to, like, slow them down a little bit so they don't change the expectations.
Yeah.
See, I think that's what happens here. If I were to go into a job and say that I needed to spend time, quiet time, meditating, it's kind of risky if the culture doesn't support that.
Right.
So, I don't know. I think you got to be realistic. I love what Shirley's talking about, and I know I have not been out there to see these, but I know there are places like what Shirley's talking about where they actually are beginning to do these things. But it's
They're
a pretty
money.
Big shift for most businesses. So I guess after all these years, I'm really seeing it more from an individual standpoint than an organizational standpoint. And I think the main thing is for people just to know they're not alone and get support with people who are learning to meditate and maybe don't try to do it at work yet.
Okay, right, but Shirley, you wanted to jump in there.
Yeah, I want to say something because here's the issue. We spend a majority of our time at work. So, I mean, there's really no joy in living without joy in work. The notion that, you know, you do one thing at home and one thing elsewhere, I have a little bit of difficulty with that because you're just one person. And I think I totally agree with Kat. I think behaviors are very difficult to change and they're completely ingrained. And when you think about yourself, you know, how hard it is for us to change who we are. I mean, that takes serious work. And that's with a corporation. We're used to the command-control model that, you know, that's really so old and it really has to die. You know what I mean? It's really these kind of entities that either... They're going to either save the world or destroy it. And I feel that these companies cannot continue, as we're seeing with the, you know, what happened to the car industry, to the financial industry, and all of these other companies here recently, that there is a shift, you know, a small shift, very subtle, in terms of the fact that people are recognizing that, yeah, there is profit, but there's also passion and purpose. So it's passion, mm-hmm. profit, and purpose all together.
And, I love that, Shirley, and I support you wholeheartedly in that. And I don't mean to sound pessimistic, because I know that there are places that are making a difference. And God, bravo to you for what you're doing. And I'm not saying that people need to just only do it at home, but I'm just saying that it's kind of to expect to go to work and be taught to meditate. I think it's upside down. Mm-hmm. I think that you need to take responsibility yourself,
right.
and learn how to do it yourself in your own, you know, home and your own life.
Oh, there's no doubt that personal responsibility is
yeah.
the ultimate. But I think in these cultures, you know, what we want to say is, if the CEO and the leader is conscious, then create that culture and climate to support my continued investment in myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. I appreciate both of you for saying it. I mean, it does absolutely take a risk, and surely what you're saying is, but the ROI is so obvious that if we don't do it, we're going to continue to miss this over and over again.
Absolutely.
Period. And I'm with both of you. I mean, I think it is risky, you know, for a person to be in a work environment where they perhaps don't feel supported and to go out and try something like this, but what's the alternative? It's almost
right.
like we live in this misery, and we continue to live in misery, and,
exactly.
and affect our health and our spiritual well-being
exactly.
and everything about us.
Exactly.
And then, goodness, Kat, you were, your story, your personal story was riveting to me. It humbled me to think, you know, that I think a lot of people are out there listening even to the show today thinking, wow, I'm not alone anymore.
I hope so. I really hope so. I mean, that's one of the biggest purposes of my books. I've had people, actually one person who was getting ready to kill herself, who changed her mind, and I hope to reach anybody who's in that state or it just feeling depressed or hopeless. That we're not alone. I mean, Shirley,
no.
you've been there. We've all been there.
I turned to meditation when I sold my company, because I had to figure out who I was beside my title and my money and my home and my material
it's like,
things.
Who is Shirley? Is
so
Shirley a president or is she
right.
a woman?
I had to find a big I am. And
right.
and so I turned to meditation. As a matter of fact, I created a workplace meditation called The Joy of Being.
Yes.
And
yes.
So there are, you know, when you're feeling that pressure at work, there are many, many tools that you can use. As a matter of fact, in Patricia Aubardeen's her book, Megatrends 2010, she has an entire chapter on conscious solutions to
mm-hmm.
ease the pressure at work that are being used by major corporations. And so anybody out there, I'd recommend you read that book, because they have tons of tools that companies are really doing and using on a daily basis to ease some of that pressure.
Well,
give
us that book again.
Too, Shirley,
the
right?
book is called Megatrends 2010.
Megatrends 2010.
It's by Patricia Aubardeen, and it's the trends that will transform how you work.
Cool.
And it's really powerful.
Wonderful. Kat, I didn't mean to interrupt you, though. You were saying
No, I was just going to say, Shirley, that's some of what your work is right now, too. I noticed on your
Absolutely.
Joy of Being site,
Absolutely.
You're creating some audios to help people learn to meditate and be present.
Right. And my tool is called The Joy of Being, and they're very, you know, small, you know, couple minutes for each meditation,
mm-hmm.
but it's proven to be very effective to take that.
I love this. Well, thank you so much for this conversation. We have to take a quick break, but I have to say, the sense of urgency, I think, to be able to change the workplace is here. And I'm feeling that from both of you today. I'm feeling, again, renewed in my own spirit to be able to say, you know, yes, this is an important message, and we can't apologize to people or dovetail it to say that we've got to change the way things have been going in the past, because they don't serve us well.
Mm-hmm.
And we will all be better if we do these things.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes.
I am grateful. We're going to continue this conversation in our last segment with Kate Tansey and Shirley Moulton in just a moment. For Real Recognition Radio, this is Max Brown and my colleague, Roy Saunderson, reminding you to keep it real. We'll be right back.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
Can you imagine a technology that takes human consciousness to the next level? One that reveals a new understanding of what is valuable and possible in the abundant support of life? The truth is, we already have that technology. We simply need to awaken to it and become the value it creates. For more about this, please tune in to Awakening Value, Shamanic Technologies of Consciousness and Success, with host Marty Spiegelman. Awakening Value is live every Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Business Channel.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about: getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Real Recognition Radio. We're going to continue our conversation today with Shirley Moulton and Kat Tanzi, our guests. And I guess on some final pointers on the ROI of being present. And I want both of you to know how much we've appreciated having you on the show, and you're triggering some memories for me. I remember going to university as a mature student, going into a lab class where you had to write up these scientific papers after replicating a well-known experiment. And whether the experiment worked or not, you had to write up your scientific paper. And I remember getting my first paper, and I got 46% on it.
Ooh.
And, you know, it's like you're dying, right, when you get those marks. And I remember going to the tutorial assistant, and I said, you know, I spent about 24 hours solid on this, and I get 46%. And she said, oh, you should only be able to write this in 8 hours. And I'm going, logic here, very male thinking here. 8 hours, more marks, 24 hours, less marks. Like, how do you get more marks? She goes, what did you do? And I said, well, I looked at the experiment. I then went to the research papers, and I wrote my paper. She goes, wrong. She says, you go home, and you think for half an hour why you think the experiment worked
mm-hmm.
or didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you come up with your reason, then you find research that supports your idea. So I remember going home, and I mean, as a mature student, like if somebody gives me this advice for free, I'm going to take it. You know what I mean? It's like I went home, sat down, thought for half an hour, and a eureka moment happened, and I started getting 86%, you know, in the 80s on my work. And my fellow students were going, how did you do that? I said, well, first you go home and you think for half an hour. And they couldn't believe that that was the case until I kept getting the marks. That was a piece of advice that has stayed with me when I get stuck. What would be some burning advice that you would love to give our listeners to kind of moving forward, to being present, but getting ahead?
I think the one big advice I'd say to listeners is there's no joy in living unless there's joy in work. And that's not my, those are not my words. They're from Thomas Aquinas, because, you know, that's where you spend most of your time. And joy generally comes when you're doing work that has meaning and purpose to you. So if you're in a job that has no meaning or purpose, then really I think you need to ask yourself the hard question, why don't I want to be happy? That would be my take.
And in giving that advice, what would be one step that would get people out of the unhappiness and to truly finding joy? What step could they take?
I think what I believe in, and I think Kat is the same, is meditation. That one
mm-hmm.
step is to begin a small practice of meditation. However they want to do it, I think that's a beginning to get to that place of silence that you talked about, you know, taking that 30 minutes to sort of assess, to think,
yep.
you know, or to reflect.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite is meditation.
Wonderful. Thank you, Shirley. Kat, if you had some advice that you could give to our listeners, what would it be from you?
Well, Roy, I have a sign on my desk, and what it says is, you deserve to learn how to be. You are a human being, not a human doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's my message. I mean, it's we deserve this. This is our birthright, to be. We're not put here just to do.
So how do we, what would be one step from you then, Kat, on getting to that state of being?
Well, you know, actually, it's really no big deal. You just sit. I have it in big capital letters with the feline Zen master on it. It says, just sit.
Okay.
So just sit. Watch your thoughts. Let them go. Touch your desk. As Shirley said, any kind of meditative practice that works for you, just start. Do it like Nike says, do it now.
All right. Maybe each of you could kind of share with us, how do you start your day?
Well, let's see. How do I start my day? Every day, my dearest and my deepest hope is that I maintain the state of grace that I have on waking up when I leave my house.
Mm-hmm.
So I always just really hope that I can maintain that. So when I go to work, I see it as my spiritual practice. It's a place where I can practice being the best person that I can be for that day.
Mm.
And so I see it as my spiritual practice.
Mm.
That's a new label to put on the workplace, isn't it?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and it really is that. It is that opportunity.
I love that.
To kind of maintain that grace throughout the day, no matter where
okay.
you are, even at work.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Kat? What do you do to start your day off?
Well, I having done all that work on sleep, I have this understanding, at least for myself, that when I first wake up, I'm coming from that different world, and I'm probably bringing a lot of stuff with me. And so I kind of like to do just a little. I meditate every day in the afternoon for about an hour, but what I do in the morning is once I wake up, I get up and then I sit back on the bed just for 2 minutes and just sit there and close my eyes and just watch what's going through my head. Because what's going through my head is often influenced by my dreams and I may not be fully conscious of it. So I always want to try to get conscious. If you can just get conscious about what's going on up there. So that's what I do.
Yep.
Spend 2 minutes trying to get conscious.
Well, you've given some great grounding points to allow us to truly be present in the workplace. And maybe we'll start off with yourself, Kat. For our listeners who would like to maybe be able to reach out and connect with you, what would be the best way for them to do that?
Easiest thing to do is go to my Choosing to Be site. It's www.choosingtobe.com. And you can sign up for my newsletter and get a free ebook on how to helpful steps to becoming a meditator. And then if you want to know more about the other stuff I do, just look on the tab about Kat Tansey, and it'll talk about, you know, the Finding Magic in Midlife show and some of the other things. So choosingtobe.com.
Good. Thank you. And Shirley, what would be the best way for our listeners, rather, to be able to reach you?
Well, I am on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, very connected in social media, and my website is www.theacademy.com. And I would certainly like to offer the first two persons that send me a tweet and tell me that they heard me on Real Recognition Radio a free copy of my Joy of Being guided meditations for work.
Oh, that's very gracious of you. Thank you very much to both of you. It's been just a joy, and I'm finding myself even feeling more relaxed by ending off this show. How about you, Max?
Oh, absolutely. I am grateful to you both bringing what you have to the show today and just being fully present with us. Grateful for the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I am grateful for all three of you. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, we certainly invite yourselves and our listeners to join us on the next show, where Max and I will continue to be investigating and going deeper on creating better workplaces and more positive relationships so that people can thrive. Max and I welcome and encourage your comments and suggestions, so please email us at feedback@realrecognition.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening to Real Recognition Radio. For more information about the Recognition Management Institute, please visit us at realrecognition.com. Next time, we will be talking further, but join us again. This is Roy Saunderson and Max Brown reminding you to keep it real.
Thank you again for tuning in Real Recognition Radio. Please join Roy Saunderson and Max Brown again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel for more motivational tips to help your employees perform better. We'll talk again next week. How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.